Hi, my name is Erin, and I'm here with Haroon Bouazizi in studio. Haroon, could you introduce yourself and explain why you became involved in the Collective for Tunisia Social Struggles in Montreal?
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me. I have been involved in human rights respect for almost 11 years now. I started with Amnesty International in 2002-2003, and then I was in the ADPM, l'Association pour les droits de la personne au Maghreb, for the past 6 years now. And then when the revolution movement started in Tunisia in December, we saw for the first time that actually more than our small group of human rights activists wanted to demonstrate. So we called all the other people that wanted to, organize demonstrations, and we created this collective to support the struggle of the Tunisian people for justice.
So what are some of the actions that the collective has done since January?
So we started in December, actually. We didn't wait for January, when just a couple of people were demonstrating in Tunisia. The idea was really to support the people there. We organized, I don't know how many, demonstrations, one every 2 or 3 days, especially when people started to, dozens of people started to die in the street. Tunisian people were extremely worried. We felt that it was our duty to be in the street and to make the media talk about this. And I think, honestly, we did a huge job because, we're just a small community. We're 16,000 in all Canada. And we made, especially the Francophone, except security, I have to thank them for having us very early in the process. But, especially the Francophone media to talk about what's going on in Tunisia. And if we compare with Germany, for example, where there is 170,000 Tunisians, it wasn't at all the same impact. So we made the media talk about it. And I'm pretty sure, dictators, they hate the light. They want to stay in the dark and do whatever they want. And making the media talk about what they're doing, I'm pretty sure we actually saved lives. Maybe they wanted... We had around less than 300 people that died, which is already a way... Even one person is too much. But it's still... We're pretty sure that Ben Ali wanted to kill more. And because of the media coverage, we're very happy that we think we saved some Tunisians' life there. And then we had a second phase where after Ben Ali left, we did some demonstration to pressure the Canadian government to freeze the money of the dictator and his family. And we know that the brother-in-law of Ben Ali, Mr. Blahsan Trabelsi, is here in Montreal. And we pressured the government. And I have to say we did succeed there too, where the Canadian government changed his law. So finally, Canada can take action to freeze the money. With a small, we still didn't hear about the Canadian government, about the amount of money that has been frozen or the action that has been taken. But at least now we know that the law is clear and nobody is supposed to deal with this money that's coming from the dictatorship in Tunisia.
And the former Tunisian president, Ben Ali, was just found guilty of theft and absenteeism. He and, along with his wife, Leila Trabelsi, face a 35-year sentence. In your opinion, what is the significance of this judgment for the people in Tunisia and also for the other countries throughout the region and possibly internationally?
Yeah, so, 6 months from now, in November 2010, we have never thought about something like this happening, right? Today, we know there is 93 cases. This is the first case of 93, so we have 92 cases left. They started with the easy ones, I think. They didn't start with the ones... we still have the death penalty in Tunisia, and I think the Tunisian justice is very careful to not use it, at least for the moment, so that we can receive back Ben Ali and continue his trial in Tunisia. Justice is far from done. Ben Ali is just the head of a big system, And for the moment, the first case was pretty easy. But when we're going to get to cases where, people died on the street, killed by police bullets, we would like an entire hierarchy with all the people that gave the order to torture, all the order to kill, to be judged for what they did at that time. And for the moment, we're very far from that. It's, the procedure started. We still have hope that this is going to happen, though we have to be very careful and pay attention to all the cases.
When you're speaking about this system, do you think it's going to be possible to fully bring to justice all the people who are involved in this system? And do you think that prosecuting the people who were involved in upholding Ben Ali's regime, do you think it will hold a lot of significance for Tunisians?
So, the system, as you can think, is very wide. In Tunisia, Tunisians in Tunisia are around 9.5 million. And people on the ruling party, the RCD, that disappeared now, were 2 million on these 9.5 million. So for sure, we're not going to judge anyone that had, was part of the Ben Ali's party. Though we expect that everyone that has blood in his hand on any way, either torture or killing, or the people that stole money of the Tunisian government, all these have to be trialed. Now, I think these are a lot of people, and it's going to take a lot of time so that we bring the light about all these cases. We know that, just days after Ben Ali left, a lot of police departments got burned, so that proof of whatever happened about torture and everything disappeared. We know that some governmental places have been burned too, so it's going to be very hard to bring everyone to justice, though we're pretty sure that the Tunisian people are not going to let go. That's from a side, and from a political point of view, everyone that was a leader in that party, in any, or asked Ben Ali to represent himself in 2014, because it was his next step, was 2014, don't have the right to present themselves in next election. So here we're talking about a lot of people, thousands of people. So slowly but surely, we're moving towards something else. Now, we'll see. We see that the Tunisian people are very decided to go somewhere else, and now the justice is starting slowly to be independent and to really do its job. But it's not perfect, right? We're waiting for a real government. So far, we have a government that some of them, nobody has been elected so far. The election are going to be in August. So once we're going to have the new government, at that point, we're pretty sure that strong facts and strong acts from the government can be made so that justice is made for the Tunisian people.
So what has been going on in Tunisia with civil society and amongst people there? Are there changes that are being made already within society? Like, do you see people being more willing to demonstrate and express their political opinions?
So people demonstrate all the time about a lot of things. Now it's coming a bit, though. But in the first 3 months, we saw demonstrations. Some were huge, some were very small. We saw the police demonstrated to have better wages. The prostitutes demonstrated because they have been aggressed on the where they've been working. Any company, we saw people on the street for any kind of reasons. Some were better than others. I have to say we're learning freedom. And we see a lot of association that have been created. And the ones that didn't have the right to really work well about human rights activists and everything now are really starting to do their job. We used to have three real opposition party, legal opposition party, and some that were created by Ben Ali, and around maybe five parties that were illegal and were working too. And now we have 82, from what I heard last week, maybe we're more this week, though, 82 parties all together. So Tunisians want to be involved in constructing the future of their country. And it's, you know, meetings everywhere, and people are just talking about the... We used to just talk about soccer games, and now it's very new, I think, and we're learning. You know, we have a lot to learn, though it's clearly going... I mean, there is no going back. I don't think we're going to go back to anything like where we were before January.
Is there a lot of support amongst groups that are demonstrating and a lot of solidarity that's forming between different associations with common goals?
Yeah, it's hard to say. So, you know, before it was pretty easy, actually, to have everyone agree on we don't like Ben Ali, we don't like dictatorship, we don't like torture. Today, it's more complex because it's really a political game. So, you know, if you're more liberal, if you're more Islamist, if you're more communist, if you're more pan-Arab, if you're more etc. And now we're talking about ideologies. So it's pretty hard to make people agree and work in a common thing. I mean, the common goal for most of them, I have to say not all of them, is to have elections pretty soon and let the Tunisian people choose where they want to go. Now everyone agrees on this almost, though after that common goal, I mean, it's totally different from a communist to an Islamist, or, you know, it's very positive, I think. You know, finally we see that Tunisian people have different ideas and they can express them, and you know, it's pretty positive.
What do you think the lead up to the election will be like?
The lead up? Excuse me.
What do you think the atmosphere will be like leading up to the elections taking place in August?
So far we didn't have violence, like political violence on the street. Some cases where political activist has been aggressed by another party, but it's very, you know, it's not a widespread thing. So it seems that it's going to be pretty well done. Now, you know, it's going to be our first election ever in Tunisia. You know, we were occupied by the French since until 1956, and since then we didn't really have any elections. So it's totally new. It's pretty hard to guess, though everyone agrees that they want it to be a success, not only for Tunisians, but for all the Arab world and the Muslim world, and for the world. We feel that we have a responsibility here. We started something way bigger than our country. Nobody would have to expect something like this, and we don't have the right to fail for us and for everyone else.
And how did the consensus sort of emerge in society that elections was something that definitely needed to happen? Do you think that Tunisian media had a large role in that?
Oof. No. So, I mean, I think everyone agrees that a democratic society is the best we can get. Right. Though some party wanted presidential elections, some other ones at the parliamentary elections. So finally, and all the party didn't agree, but though now there is an agreement where we're going to go to what we call a constituent. So we're going to elect kind of a parliament, which is what we call a constituent. They're going to write a new constitution for the new Republic of Tunisia, the second one. And we don't know what the system that's going to come out from that new constitution, either presidential, parliamentary, or, and we expect that it's going to take 1 year, and after that year we're going to start new election with a new system, either presidentially or parliamentary, like here in Canada. So they agree in the election, but they didn't agree in which kind of election we're going to have. I have to say we made a choice, I think pretty wise choice, that for this constituent is going to be proportional, so with lists. So everyone, or almost everyone, that, you know, will have more than 5 or 6% of votes will be represented in this constituent. So every kind of ideology or of Tunisians or will have to agree on the system that we're going to have for the next, you know, at least maybe a century or so.
Yeah. And so finally, what is the collective doing in Montreal right now? Are you still organizing demonstrations or actions?
So, you know, we're still waiting to know about this money freeze of the Ben Ali's family, Trabelsi and Matri, you know, some known families around the dictatorship. We don't know yet. Now we're pretty happy that, for example, the fact that Ben Ali owes now the government around $70 million for his first trial. $70,000 for this first trial. Now we can go to the Tunisian government can go to the Canadian government and say, okay, now you can start sending us back the money that you froze. So we contacted, as you know, a lot of MPs changed in the last in the last 2 months in Canada, and the contact we had before are not in the parliament anymore. So we contacted new MPs of the NDP, the official opposition, to pressure the Canadian government to tell us what is the action, concrete action that has been made to freeze the money of the dictatorship. Because, I mean, so far we're really not seeing much from the Canadian government. They waited months and months to start freezing the money when we know that Switzerland, you know, the banking industry in Switzerland is so strong, and they took action after 2 weeks. And here, you know, we waited 3 or 4 months. We know that for the G8, they met all the G8 made to give money to the Tunisian and Egyptian, and Canada is the only country that didn't give a dollar to Tunisia from a bilateral exchange. And so, you know, when we know for what we stood up, you know, I came to Canada because I believe in human rights. And now when we know that Tunisian people have shared these values with the Canadian people, we're waiting clearly more from the Canadian government.
And that's the end of my questions. Are there any points you'd like to add to our interview?
You know, I would like to say to all the Canadians to just go to every demonstration for the Syrian people, for the Yemeni people, for the Libyan people. I saw pictures this morning on Facebook for Syria that are really horrifying. I mean, it's a real massacre that is going on, and we have at least to show these people that they're not alone. They're not alone in their struggle. And, you know, nothing can change. It can stop these people from winning, and we have to be in their side.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio today, Haroon.
Thank you for having me.